we're starting a brand new series today. It's called Glory. Now, God has spoken some very significant things to me when it pertains to this particular series that we're doing. And I want to make sure I have ample enough time to be able to teach on this because my heart is really exhausted on the subject because there's so many things that I believe that young adults have a desire to do. You guys, we all have a desire to be who God called us to be. We all desire to do it the way God called us to do it. We all desire to do it within the timing that God called us to do it on. And so I want to make sure that as we are running this race and as we are gearing up and getting towards where we need to be, I want to make sure that we understand how that needs to look, because I believe that sometimes it's not necessarily where you want to be that's wrong. Maybe it's the motive and maybe it's the mode of transportation that you take to get there. So I really feel that God has given me some specific things that we're going to talk about. But before I can talk in detail about those specific things, we've got to do some recon. Somebody say recon. So I want you guys to open your Bibles. You bring your Bibles with you? Beautiful. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 115. This is going to be our foundational scripture that we're going to continue. I want to challenge you to memorize this scripture as well. I want to challenge you to memorize a scripture. It's Psalms 115, verse number 1. And it reads this. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but to your name give glory, because you are merciful, because of your truth, because of your mercy and because of your truth, because of your mercy and because of your truth. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth, because of your mercy, because of your truth. How many of you guys have God been merciful to? How many of you know you should have got the boot, but you didn't? How many of you know you should have been put out on your face, but he held you in place? How many of you know some things should have come your way, but they didn't quite do what they should have done to you because of his mercy? How many of you know that Psalms tells us that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever? No matter where you go, the Bible says that his grace has the ability to be more than the sin that's in front of you. So I need some people in this room to understand and recognize the fact that his grace and his mercy will endure until the end. And not only do we need to focus on the mercy, but we also need to recognize his truth. See, we love the mercy, we love the grace, but sometimes we don't love the truth, we don't love the book, we don't love the law. But what Jesus said is he came not to do away with the law, but he came to be the fulfillment of the law. So that means that he didn't do away with what Moses said, he was the fulfillment of what Moses said. So that means that when I get in Christ and when I receive him as my Lord and Savior, I step in the fulfillment of that law, and he paid the sin price for everything that I would have done wrong, because he stands in my place, and it's no longer me that has to take the penalty for what I've done, but it's Christ who already received it on the cross. Amen. Amen. Am I in the book? Yes. So I want to talk to us tonight from the subject, unking me. Unking me. How many checker players do I have in the room? Anybody know, for those of you guys who don't play checkers, when you play checkers, you're moving up the board and you're moving down. And when you reach a certain point on the board where you go from your end of the board all the way to the back end of the opponent's board, you are now allowed to get one of your old pieces that was taken from you and put that piece on top of the piece that made it to the back. And they call that king. They say, king me. So that means that this piece has the power to move around the board and do more things than other pieces does. And it stands taller than the rest of the pieces on the board, so it's significantly different than the rest, and it has powers and it has the ability to do more than most. So tonight I want to talk from the subject, unking me. This is not going to be a traditional sermon. I'm not a traditional preacher, so you can hang that up anyway. So what I do want to do is this. I want to talk about the difference as we look at young adults and as we're looking towards purpose and as we're looking towards destiny. I want to look at two different things. I want to look at being an individual versus being independent. Now, I posted about this the other day, and it caused quite a stir. I got some interesting responses from this. I believe that every single person in this room is an individual. God created you. He made you the way he made you. He crafted you the way he crafted you. That nose that you complain that you don't like, that you're thinking about getting plastic surgery on, God made that nose. Hello, somebody. Those eyebrows that don't seem to grow in sometimes and you have to kind of fill them in there, ladies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on now. I see all the ladies in here that they're struggling on that piece. They were like, praise the Lord, they covered them. It's all right, girl. Go on, go buy them, boo-boo. Do what you got to do. Any part of your body, any part of what God created you to be that you don't like, understand and know that you were created in the form and the likeness of God. So to not like yourself would be to not like God, because you were made in his likeness and his image. Because when he formed you with his own hands. He breathed his own breath inside of you, which is his own DNA. So that means that when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, you should look like God. So it's impossible to have low self-esteem when you understand that you were made in the likeness of God. It's impossible for you not to like what you see when you look in the mirror, because what you should see when you look in the mirror is Christ. It's the God in me. It's the God in me. And yet and still, as an individual, we all have differences. We got Pastor Jared Ellis here. He's visiting us. He's hanging out. Love you, sir. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us. Jared Ellis's skin is just a little lighter than mine, praise God. Just a little, just a tad bit. On a good day, when he's in a tanning situation in the sun, I could probably get him. But nevertheless, we are very different. And not just because of our skin color, because God has created us not just different in skin, but he's also created us different in the way we think, different in the way we walk. I'm a bit pigeon-toed. I'm not sure if he is at all. But God has created us all as individuals, and there's nothing wrong with being an individual. Now, understanding that, we understand that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is a collaboration of individuals that will come together that will represent one kingdom. And this is what I want to talk about for just a few moments as we introduce this. Is there's nothing wrong with being an individual, an individual, but you can't be separate from the organization. You can't be born of us but then step out away from us. You can't be born to be kingdom-minded and then you step out and start being castle-minded. What do you mean by castle, Pastor Green? I mean that some people are more focused at building their individual castles than building the joint kingdom. I mean that some people are more concerned with making sure that their own separate thing that they have going on off to over here doing this little thing here, which is nothing is wrong with that. But the thing is that when we forget that God has called us to be a joint kingdom, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, when we forget that God called us to work together and come together and lock arms and love each other and be kind to each other and respect each other and not compete against each other. Sheesh. When we forget that, then that becomes the problem, and now we become individuals that have become independent of the kingdom. See, God called us to be he called us to be individuals, but he never called us to be independent of the kingdom. See, this is the issue that we have, that I see greatly. I see a lot of young adults who desire to be used, who desire to be in place, who desire to do things for the kingdom of God, who desire to do a whole lot of things. But the problem comes when we check hearts and we come and we check motives and we watch and we observe and we see this individual thing happening on itself, and it's not connecting to the organization of the kingdom, and it doesn't sound like the kingdom, but it sounds like an individual agenda. So we've got to make sure as young adults that we guard ourselves, that we make sure that we're doing this for the kingdom's sake, that everything that we build is based on giving God glory. I went down and visited a great church in Oklahoma City. They do online church like nobody else. And one of the things that I was most impressed with there is that every department that we visited within the organization, I heard an echo of the same thing. It's all about the capital C church. Come on, somebody. It's all about Pastor Green, praise God, good to meet you. We're the finance department, but it's all about the capital C church. Hey, Pastor Green, great to meet you. This is YouVersion. This is where we create YouVersion, and this is where we do everything. We send it out. You can see everyone that's looking at YouVersion right now on that screen, but guess what? It's all about the capital C church. Hey, Pastor Green, we're the eChurch department. We represent the eChurch of this church organization, and guess what? It's all about the capital C church. See, Jesus prayed that your kingdom come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Interesting that he didn't say your will be done, your kingdom come. He said your kingdom come, your will be done. Because his will can't be accomplished outside of the kingdom. Sheesh. And we got to make sure that our agendas are always about the kingdom and growing the kingdom. When was the last time you came to church for the kingdom's sake? When was the last time you connected to the body of Christ to volunteer for the kingdom's sake? When was the last time you gave your time to serve in the body of Christ for the kingdom's sake and not for the hope of promotion?
Wow.
Woo! So I'm seeing a strong spirit. And what we say is, I'm an entrepreneur by nature. I'm a self-starter. Nothing wrong with being a self-starter entrepreneur. But never forget, it's all about the capital C church. It's all about the kingdom of God. And if what you're doing doesn't connect to the body, if what you're creating doesn't stick to the kingdom, then what you're building is in vain. And I'm reminded of someone else who tried to do something as independent from God. He was the most beautiful thing that you could ever look upon.
Oh, that's good.
The Bible describes, you know what, I'm not going to even say, I want us to read it. It's so important, we're going to read it. I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, and I want you to hear the Bible describe this individual that I'm thinking about, and I've got a reader, and she's going to read a New King James Version, whatever version you may have. We are familiar with it, but we're going to read from New King James tonight. We're going to go to Ezekiel 28, and then we're going to jump down to Isaiah 14, because I want to hear about this individual that's going to help set the platform for what we're going to deal with tonight. Ezekiel 28, verse 13.
You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you.
Boom. So let's break this down, individual versus independent. This is the individual named Lucifer. God created him in his and in heaven, and he was the most angelic, beautiful thing to look. He was decked with stones and rubies that we can't even describe. He was beautiful to look upon. He was the most gorgeous thing that would probably parade around heaven. And the beautiful thing about him is his body was a vial of his body was an instrument of music all by itself. The Bible says that he had pipes and vials piped into his body so he could make noises any moment. He didn't have to take his hands and do anything. He could just think it and it would come out of him. He was beautiful. I'm sure he led the march in heaven when they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And as they sing that song, I'm sure it was his music probably playing in the atmosphere of heaven. And then something happened to this individual. he decided that he wanted to be independent. Read Isaiah 14, verse 12. Read.
How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit.
Notice in this scripture, in this passage, you see a lot of I will. You see a lot of I will. You see a lot of I will. You have to pay attention in your life when it's more about I than it is about we.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
See, because the kingdom of God can't come with a bunch of I's. It has to come when we come together. See, the kingdom of God is so decorated and so beautiful, and the kingdom of God is like the body. They call us the body of Christ, and it would be weird if you saw a finger moving down this aisle, just going down the aisle by itself. You would be like, what in the world is going on in this church? We need to leave because they got some demons up in here. Come on, somebody. That finger need deliverance some more. Amen. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all missed that. It's all right. You would trip out if you saw a leg walking in a different direction than the body, and then you saw the body with the arms making the body move because it ain't got no legs underneath because the legs want to go that way. Now, understanding that God called us to be individuals, but he called us to jointly connect together as the body of Christ and come together and make sure that we come together for the common good of Christ. Now, I didn't say the common good for an individual. I said the common good of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is always establishing his kingdom, seeing lives change, seeing souls saved. I love the church that I went and visited yesterday because everywhere I went, they had up on the wall how many souls got saved in online that the church that week. I remember the number right now. It was 1,042. 1,042, you saw it on every screen around the entire organization of 300 employees because they wanted to make sure that the kingdom of God was always the focal point of what they did. And we've got to make sure that everything that we do as young adults is kingdom related. I don't care if you're establishing a business. Make sure it's kingdom focused. And when you make sure that God is in the center of it and you make sure that he's the foundation of it, I promise you, you'll make more money. But the problem is that we don't want to submit our will and we don't want to submit what we're doing into anybody else's hands because we think that I is more important than we. So Lucifer decided that since I'm so bad and I look so good and I sound so nice, maybe I could do my own thing. He started off in the kingdom, but somewhere along the way, pride slipped into his heart, and he got haughty and arrogant, and he decided to step away because he felt that being an individual was more important than being joined to the organization. So what happened when he stepped away and decided to be an individual? The Bible describes this as him being cast out of heaven like a bolt of lightning coming from heaven is how the Bible describes it. He was thrown from heaven. Now listen to this. This boy was a bad joker. He was a bad angel. He was bad to the bone. He was so bad. Get this. He was so bad. He was so cold-blooded that he had the ability to influence a third of the angels in heaven, that the only job they had was to sing holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty around the throne of God where God is himself. All they had to do was worship, and he had enough influence to take a bunch of worshiping angels' attention off of the King of Glory in heaven. In heaven. And because of that, he was cast from heaven, and also the third of angels that turned their attention away from the kingdom and towards the individual were kicked out too. You got to make sure that as you follow the kingdom and you connect to the kingdom, be careful of individuals that take your attention off of the overall kingdom. And you got to make sure that you stay connected to the kingdom. I didn't say connected to the potter's house. I said connected to the kingdom of God. Now, the potter's house is a part of the kingdom of God. But make sure that everything that you connect to connects to the kingdom. Otherwise, you could jeopardize being cut off because of your association. Guilty by association. A third of the angels were guilty by association. Can you imagine how sad and crying and I worship and worshiping for thousands of years? How can you connect? Where are you going to kick me out? I didn't do. No, you got to go. Because the minute you turn your focus from the kingdom to an individual, energy is diverted from the purpose that God created you for. Now, Lucifer has been kicked from heaven to earth. Now, some people think that when Lucifer left heaven, he went into the pit. That's not true. Lucifer now lives here in this earth realm. And not only does he live here, but a third of the other angels all live here as well, here on earth. And this is where it's about to get sticky. And this is why we had to pray before we came in, because every time I deal with this particular subject, demons begin to act up on me. So I needed to make sure that we were right in our spirits. I need to make sure that we were prayed up, because when I start dealing with this particular thing that I'm about to deal with, the devil gets real upset because he understands that this is a serious stronghold, not only within the earth, but it has crept into the body of Christ. So now Lucifer lives here on earth, and he has inhabited himself in this earthen form. And now he's up to his same tricks that he was up to in heaven. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. So now he lives here in this earthen realm, and now his focus is still the same. His focus is to, we know what John says, the enemy cometh but to kill, steal, and, yeah, we know, I know we know the Bible. So he's here to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's using deceptive ways to do it. I believe that what I'm talking about now, so many people are not even aware of it, not only in the earth, but also in the body of Christ. And what we are not aware of, it's impossible to avoid. See, now he lives here on earth, and now he's up to the same tricks, schemes, and tactics that he did before. I've been doing some study over the last 8 years on the particular subject on the fallen ones. Somebody say the fallen ones. Yeah, the fallen ones, it's a specific study about fallen angels. And one of the things that I discovered when I began to do studies on the fallen ones who live here on earth, which are demons, come on somebody, they live here on earth, they try and find a vessel to inhabit, a person that they can live inside of. They need a body because they're heavenly form, their spirit nature, so they can't do anything unless they have a body to go through. So you need to make sure you're covered. This is why you need to connect to the kingdom of God, because when you connect to the kingdom of God, you sit under the umbrella of God that keeps you protected from demonic spirits. Come on, somebody. You would think it would be that simple. But he's inhabiting himself in different forms now. And he has started to what's a good word for it? Advance. He has evolved. There you go. He has evolved himself and different forms and different things, to the point to where it was slightly disguised at first. And nobody would worship the devil if he said, "I'm the devil, worship me." Sing right now, worship me, bow down when you come to my town. Devil wouldn't do that now. He realized that we're smarter than that. So he began to disguise himself in different forms. He began to disguise himself. He said, "What could I put myself into that more people would see me than just regular folks on the streets? Maybe if I could sneak into media, maybe if I could sneak into music, maybe if I could sneak my way into movies. Maybe if I could sneak my way into certain things that they all like. Maybe if I could sneak my way into social media where they spend most of their time in there. Maybe if I could morph my way into this source or that thing. So I want to show you some areas in our world that the enemy has snuck into. Don't show yet. I want to tell you this, the glorification of the fallen ones, or the glorification of fallen angels, there is this infatuation that we see in the earthen realm where people are obsessed with angelic beings. Now, you see these forms every day, but you don't know it. And I want to show you some things that may ring a bell as you look at them, because you'll begin to understand and start seeing that what I'm saying is not just a bunch of propaganda or a bunch of weirdo YouTube stuff, but this stuff is real. That what the enemy is doing is disguising himself in different forms that makes you comfortable with him. And now you won't downright worship the enemy, but you'll worship something that you like. So I want to bring your attention to my first image. This particular image here is a picture of a Victoria's Secret model. Now, Victoria's Secrets they've been doing shows for forever and a day. And this is an interesting thing, because I find it interesting that why would someone who has lingerie on need wings on their back? Now, when we go back and we look at the Bible and we see how Lucifer was able to deceive a third of the angels, we understand in Ezekiel that he was adorned with every stone, jewel, onyx. He was beautiful to look at. He wasn't a bad-looking angel at all. Matter of fact, he looked better than the rest. He looked apart. He was something to look upon. Your eyes would glitter when you see him. And what other item could the enemy use in this earth to deceive the people that live here that would entertain him the most? A beautiful woman. A beautiful woman that can be adorned with wings. Now, I'm not saying that this company is doing this on purpose, but I'm saying there are some consistencies that you see in the earthen realm, and this is just one of many of the shows that they do where the angels come out with lingerie on. Why? Because the enemy wants to make you comfortable with him, so that when you see an angel or when you see the form of an angel, that you're not afraid, but you want to entertain it. Next picture. Now, this particular picture, it'll take me a minute to explain. Some of you guys already know this is the runaway video. This is the runaway video. And the runaway video had some interesting things in it. When you watch the runaway video and you see it from the beginning, there is a depiction of the fall of Lucifer in the beginning of the runaway video. And there's a voice that goes on that says that there's a story that you've heard of once before, but I want to tell you a different story of how it really went down. And there is a barreling ball of fire falling from heaven, and you see just a ball of fire look like a comet coming down to earth, and it's coming down, and there's a car that's going, and then the car and the comet end up colliding, and the comet ends up being a phoenix, or a woman with wings on her back that's laying on the ground that looks like she's almost half dead, and this person picks up the phoenix or this wing woman, and he picks her up and he takes her to his home before there was a big explosion. And then when the big explosion happens, he saves her life. He takes her into his home and he trains her and he brings her back to life by playing music for her and getting her back strong and getting her back healthy. And she doesn't fit into society. During the whole music video, she sits at the table with everybody wearing white, and she's the only one with wings on her back. Look at me, I'm different from everyone else. This is another depiction and a worship of the fallen ones in our society, and how we have turned our attention to worshiping the fallen ones, because we should be staying away from the fallen ones, because the fallen ones were rebellious and they were booted from heaven and they will never enter heaven again. That at the end of this whole thing, when Jesus comes back, they're going into the lake of fire. And they know it. And they want as many God lookalikes as possible that they can drag into the pit with them, so they will disguise themselves in pretty beautiful women that you look upon that are gorgeous, that look nice, that are non-threatening to you, that you will see. But it's a depiction of an angel. What person do you know that wears wings at all? This is abnormal. This is not human. This is a depiction of a fallen angel. Last and not least, I want to show you a commercial made by Axe. Smell good place, spray. Spray stuff. I want to show you this video, and then I'm just going to let the video play. It's 2 minutes. I show this as the nail in the coffin, for those of you who are skeptical in the room, because I need you to understand that it's not Axe who has an agenda to sidetrack you from the Father. It's not Victoria's Secret who has an agenda to side, well, kind of. But it's not Victoria's Secret that has a mission to sidetrack you from the Father if you're not married. Praise the Lord. It's not the music industry that's trying to distract you from God. It is Lucifer. Yeah. It is Satan himself. It is Satan manifesting himself in our society, in our culture, and he is up to his same tricks that he was up to from the beginning, which is he always wanted to be the king. He was always after the crown. He was always after being worshipped. He was always chasing the top of the hill, and he wanted to ascend above the Father. And he wanted a place higher than God. And this is why he started to do what he did in heaven, because he wasn't satisfied with being connected to the kingdom. He was more obsessed with being an individual and being separate from the kingdom, to the point to where he would rebel from the very God who created him. For his worship, for his praise, and for his glory. I wonder, as we open this series up, sheesh, Shandabasokora, help me, Holy Spirit. I wonder, where are we as individuals who were created by God to give God glory, to give him worship, to give him praise? I wonder, where are we? Where am I with being connected to the kingdom and being submitted to bow my head anytime the king comes in the room? Not bowing to a man, not bowing to a person, bowing to the presence of God, because I must have his presence. I must be near him, and I'm not obsessed with outdoing him, because I realize what I'm doing is not for myself or selfish gain or selfish glory, but it is for his glory. It is for his glory. As we close this first session out, I want to give you a few definitions or meanings for crowns, royalty. In the olden days, when kings would wear crowns, why or what it represented, the first thing that the crown represented was power. Understanding and knowing that power was in his hands, that he was supreme rulership over all the people, that he was responsible for their lives, that he was responsible for their livelihood, that he was responsible to make decisions for them on their behalves. It wasn't them that made decisions for themselves. It was the king that made decisions for the kingdom. And when he made a decision, the kingdom followed suit. And every individual that was found in the kingdom benefited from the decision that the king who had power made. The second thing that the crown represented was legitimacy. It legitimized that when the enemy comes in to find out who the top dog is or who the decision maker is, it represented the fact that I am the king and I am legitimately the leader of this group, of the kingdom. And what I see in our generation is not only people who are power hungry, and we disguise it with things like, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an individual, I've got my own thing, I'll do this for a while, but I really want to be doing this. And I'll do this to get to here because I really want my own. And I'll do this as long as I can, as long as it adds to what my own is. And what I wanted to show us and what I wanted us to see is I'll deal with some more of these when we get into our next service. But what I wanted to see is that we cannot be after God's power. And we cannot try and legitimize who we are as individuals outside of the kingdom. There is no legit way to be an individual outside of the kingdom. Because when you are outside of the kingdom, you represent self, you're alone, and you have no backing. And the people that are around you are not a part of your kingdom, but you are an individual fighting an enemy who has angels that are here on this earth that are fallen, that are manifesting themselves in different ways, in different forms, that have come to take you out. They no longer hide under your bed. They no longer hide in the closet. They no longer hide. They are showing themselves to the world. They are exposing, here I am. What are you going to do about it? And you will worship me. The girls in the video took their halos off and they crashed them to the ground, representing the rebellion of the angels in heaven who all chose to rebel, who were kicked out of heaven, who followed Lucifer. They threw their crowns down instead of wanting to be in the kingdom. And I wonder if we've got a few people here tonight who need to be unkinged. Because after tonight, God has shown you a few things in your life that are not there to give him glory, but it is vain pursuit of selfish gain.